listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And we do that in a number of ways, a number of educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which helps the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone courses in metaphysics as well as degrees at tfuniversity.org. Of course, all these different things are metaphysical in nature. That's what we do. Metaphysics is a study of consciousness and existence, so that's what we talk about. As is customary, I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. They are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. That was 3. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And, of course, for the expanded version of these principles, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. We'd certainly like to welcome all of those joining us for this live program tonight. Also like to welcome those listening to the archives. Don't want to leave you out either. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about obligation. I'm going to talk about 4 types of obligations. We're going to talk about sacred obligations. Before I get into that, I want to ask you a question, which is on a different topic. Today is July 20th, 2016. Do you know where you were 47 years ago? Now, obviously, you got to be older than 47 to be able to answer that question.
Is this a moon question?
It is. 47 years ago today, I was 10 years old, and I was in Vancouver, British Columbia. A little bit of a vacation of sorts with my family, and we had rented a trailer and pulled it behind us, and we're up there. And anyway, I remember my dad had a black and white TV outside the camper, and we were watching Neil Armstrong do the moonwalk. I remember that. That's where I was. So interesting how time flies. It was like, what, 6 years ago?
I was, how old was I? We didn't get television in our house until I was, I think, 9. And then we only had one station for a long time, and then it went to 2. But I remember the moonwalk. It was on the TV, black and white.
Can you hear me?
Have we got a sound issue?
I'm having mic problems.
Well, I'm going to...
mic problems. If you want to read...
I'm going to read Sacred Obligations, number 31, and that's how we'll start off tonight, because we're going to talk about obligations. But a sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and, of course, there's much more to that, but continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your highest sacred obligations. And I think really what the essence of this is saying, that, you know, rather than our heads so much, it's like it's we're spiritual beings. And that's what we aspire to, is to learn how to be human in a more spiritual way. I think that that's, we're walking the earth trying to figure it out down here, but we all come from somewhere and have a particular strength inside of us, a will of spirit, if you will. And, you know, so we have duties, and sometimes we have to spell that out. And what is that? So we intellectualize it, but then it has to be an action. So what are our actions? And doing the right thing. So it's not just do no harm. I think everybody understands the do no harm part. But what's the right thing to do very often? And paying it forward and upholding your own individual value. All of these things are is what we check in with, and so that we know what our sacred obligations are, that reminds us that we are spiritual beings. So that's kind of my take on it.
Good points. Very good. All right, so let's talk about four types of obligations that there are, and we'll try to come up with some examples too. The first type of obligations are the universal, generally self-evident obligations. These are things like being trustworthy, being honest, having integrity, those kinds of things, doing the right thing. You know, there are things in life that are just self-evident. It's just what you do, and, you know, to any decent person. There's an element, certainly, of spirituality in many of these things that would fall under this first type, which, again, is universal, generally self-evident obligations. And you, those are just the basics: honesty, trustworthiness, integrity, taking care of your family, you know, if you're a father or mother, taking care of your kids, things like that. So that's one I think we all understand. The second type of obligation is personally chosen obligations, and these are simply obligations that we have imposed on ourselves, and we do that for any number of reasons. Maybe we want to get in better health, so we start exercising, we eat healthier, things like that. Maybe there are other goals that we have. A personal obligation, personally chosen obligation, would also include studies. You know, if you're a student at IMHS or TFU, you know, you've chosen to get your degree or take a course, whatever the case may be, and those are your obligations. So you have personally imposed those on yourself, and it's good to follow through with those. You know, an example, and I mentioned exercise, and this is an obligation I imposed on myself a couple of months ago. About 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and you know, after my jaw left the ground, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Really? There's no diabetes in my family. What's up with this? Anyway, so, okay, it was what it was, and they put me on metformin. And if you have type 2 or 1, I don't know if type 1 diabetics take that or not, but type 2 usually do. It's the most popular one, and, you know, it brings your blood sugar levels down into where they should be and so forth. So I started taking that, and the whole time I'm just thinking, this is just not right. This is not me. This is not, why don't, you know, there's no history in my family with this, on and on and on. Anyway, so I went to a doctor's visit here, I don't know, about 3 months ago, a little more than 2 months ago, but, and, you know, and my EC1 was pretty high. I think it was 10 or something like that. It was not as high as it was when I first was diagnosed, but it was higher than I expected it to be. Of course, I cheated a little. Anyway, I made a decision. I made a decision to obligate myself, to impose an obligation of a lifestyle change. So I, you know, I bought a bicycle like a year ago, and it sat in the garage. I never used it. So I started riding the bike. And, you know, I think the first day, I mean, I haven't ridden a bike since I was like 15, right? That was like 8 years ago. Can you believe that? I wouldn't. Total lie. So anyway, I start riding a bike, you know, and the first day I went a little over a half a mile. Not very much. And my legs were burning. So, okay, the next day I went a mile and a quarter, and again, it was hard. Anyway, so I did that. I started that on May 13th, actually. I keep a log of this stuff. Kept, you know, all my blood sugar levels. And I don't know if any of this will mean anything to you, but on that day that I started, my fasting blood sugar level was 350. It should be under 100. So it's, you know, it was pretty high. Anyway, so I decided this is what I'm going to do, and I switched to a low-carb diet. And I've done this pretty darn faithfully every day since. And yesterday, I finally did my first 10-mile ride, and I could have gone further, but it was a milestone for me, you know. 10 miles, of course, bikers, you know, people who ride bikes all the time, probably nothing. But for me, that was an awful lot. It was a milestone. And so this is an obligation I place on myself. It's personally chosen, and I'm following through with it. So that's the second type of obligations, personally chosen obligations. The third type of obligation is a perceived obligation. Now, these are obligations imposed by others on us with our permission, such as religious obligations, family obligations, things like that. Now, bear in mind that obligations can be healthy or unhealthy, and this certainly applies to this third category, perceived obligations. Now, this is where we really need to stop, take a deep breath, and think. What type of obligations do we have that may be hurting us or killing us? We're trying to keep up with them, and we're just losing our strength. We're just fighting it, and it's just wearing us out, burning us out. Think about that for a minute. Whatever personally or perceived obligations you may have, they may be family, they may be religious, they may be whatever, but think about those. And that's the time, if they're unhealthy, that's the time when we need to rethink those obligations. I'll talk about that again in a minute. So the third category is perceived obligations. The fourth category is sacred obligations. These are more spiritual in nature. They're higher order obligations. They involve successful living and relationships, successful relationships. And we have, at ICMH Church, we have our sacred obligations. And in fact, if you look, if you're actually listening to this live broadcast, even if you're not, you can go to the broadcast page. But if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see our list of sacred obligations. The first one is do no harm, do right. Now remember, sacred obligations, which is another word for sacrosanct, they're higher end. And they may or may not be self-evident, but these are higher end. And some of these we really need to learn. We need to educate ourselves to become aware of them. So the first one is do no harm, do right. That's self-explanatory. We talk about that all the time. The second one is reclaim your power, which also known as reclamation. Reclaim your power. Take your power back. That's an obligation for you because it's in your best interest to take your power back. Taking your power back simply means protecting your boundaries, doing what is good and right and healthy and in your own best interest first, and standing up on your own two feet and protecting your boundaries. The third sacred obligation is attune your life leadership paragon. And if you have been listening to these for any length of time, you know that the life leadership paragon is a model of excellence. That's what paragon means. And it involves three traits that create a fourth trait. And those three traits are self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these create a synergistic trait of self-completeness. That means being complete within yourself and not, quote, needing, unquote, anybody else to complete you. So when you attune your life leadership paragon, the whole purpose, the whole goal and objective here is to bring those traits into their proper balance, into the proper order. Self-acceptance is the first one. Self-esteem, having a good, healthy self-concept, not having them esteem, which means that you only feel good about yourself when you're doing what other people think you should be doing. Does that remind you of the third category we just talked about, perceived obligations that can be unhealthy? And so there's self-acceptance, and there's self-responsibility, you know, maintaining your responsibilities, things, do what you should do, when you should do it. And then respect for free will, respecting other people, not trying to control or change other people, no matter who they are, understanding that they're on their path just like you are, and then being complete within yourself. So if you bring the first three, those three traits into order, into their proper order, self-completeness takes care of itself. You start with self-acceptance, then you work next on respect for free will, so you value yourself first. Secondly, you stop trying to control or change other people, and personal responsibility kind of falls into place too. But once those are all in order, you have essentially attuned your life leadership paragon. And that's what it means. The fourth sacred obligation is to pay it forward. And we've talked a lot about this too. It's not just a fad. Paying it forward, it's been around for thousands of years. It's not, didn't start with the movie or the book of years ago. It's been around forever almost. It's a concept that is healthy and it's beneficial. And it's one of the active works that we do as metaphysical humanists. We pay it forward in any way that we can do that. And it can be in small ways, it can be in big ways, but we pay it forward. It's a sacred obligation. When we understand that we're trying to be part of the solution rather than the problem, we're paying it forward and we're fulfilling a sacred obligation. And the fifth one is to deliver your greatness, because everybody has greatness within. Many people don't know that. Many people don't believe that. That comes back to self-acceptance. And maybe you listening to this program, you don't think you're worth much or you don't have much to offer. That is a disabling belief. It is not real. You need to find that uniqueness within you. You need to find your gifts and bring them out on the table and bring them forth. Deliver your greatness. You can deliver greatness in all kinds of ways. One of them is paying it forward. Everyday things, smiling at people, saying thank you, being well-mannered, please and thank you, and all those kinds of graciousness things. There's so many ways to deliver your greatness. And we have an obligation to ourselves and to humanity to do that. These are sacred obligations. These are the higher end, the higher awareness type of obligations. Now, a couple of other points. Often, the more obligations we have, the less control we have over our lives. Think about that. If you got too many irons in the fire, you have less control over your life because you're always tending to those irons in the fire. If all those irons, many of those irons in the fire are obligations that are perceived, ones that you've accepted that have been imposed upon you by others, well, you're really not in control of your life. You're not the one running your life. They're running you. Now, the exception to this is when the bulk of our obligations are in place by our own deliberate choice. In other words, we've put these obligations into place. They were deliberate choices. We know we do these because we have good reasons for doing them. And if it ever becomes a burden, we need to rethink that. And we need to release any obligations that we deem to be no longer in our best interests for our own health. Another thing to be careful of, especially in the area of perceived obligations that are imposed by others on us, is the endeavoring to obligate another can be a form of manipulation. For example, getting him or her to commit to doing something we want through intimidation or persuasiveness, or vice versa. Maybe somebody's trying to do that to you. A second way is using obligations as a binding force or guarantee when we mistrust whether a person will follow through on something. In other words, we might guilt trip them into fulfilling some obligation that we've imposed on them, or vice versa. Maybe they're doing it to us. So you want to be careful of that. Some obligations are just not healthy. You know, nothing's absolute. It's kind of a grayscale, if you will. It's a sliding scale of morality. Some obligations are heavier than others. Some are healthier than others. We want to make sure that the obligations that we have in our life are proper, that they're healthy, and that they benefit ourselves and any persons that might be involved in fulfilling those obligations. So the gist of this whole thing, four types of obligations. Number one, universal, generally self-evident obligations, such as being honest and trustworthy. The second type is personally chosen obligations, maybe a healthier lifestyle or whatever else, educational goals. The third type is perceived obligations, things that we think we're obligated to do, but we're not really. And the fourth one is sacred obligations, which are higher end, more evolved, more enlightened type of obligations. So I wanted to share that with you. Any other comments, Dr. Hunter, on this topic?
Well, if some people are uncomfortable with the word obligations, you might replace it with responsibility. That's
sure.
all. You know, it's, if I'm the only one who lives in my mind and in my body, then I'm responsible for whatever I do with that mind and body. And if I want to live for other people, then I am not being responsible for myself. So, and then, of course, that's an obligation to look after myself. So sometimes people aren't comfortable with that, you know, certain words. So you can just think of responsible.
Same thing, only different.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So I hope that that got you thinking, if nothing else. All right, so if you in the live audience would like a card pulled from our Inner Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. In the meantime, we're going to pull a card or two just generally and talk about them. So,
well, I actually just pulled number 10 in the existential suit, which is indomitable power of the human spirit. Don't you love that?
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful, you know. We're talking about obligations, we're talking about, you know, who we are as spiritual beings and human beings, and this says the human spirit is unequaled in power, nothing can defeat it. It's true. Within your creative ability, your powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing's out of reach. Claim your power, live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. So that's, you know, it's really good for us to remind ourselves of that once in a while. So it's a good one. It's a good
All
one.
Right. Yes, it is. I mean, we can do anything we want, folks. And if you're discouraged or blue or down about anything, just understand it's a belief system. It's a way of believing. And we can stand up tall and we can change our attitude, like changing the channel. We can look within and find that power within us because it's there. We just have to find it and grab onto it and not be satisfied with mediocrity, not be satisfied with less than what we're capable of doing. I mean, think about that. Who loses on that one? Everybody loses. If you're not fulfilling your potential, everybody loses, but especially you. So reach in there and grab that power. All right, well, let's pull another card, and Michael's going to pull this card for us. So go ahead, son.
All right. And the card I pulled was number 2 in the self-acceptance suite, esteem and validation. Now, please stop me. We didn't pull this card tonight, did we?
No.
Okay, good. And self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truth of your own path. This is actually an excellent card that fits right in with what we were talking about. I think specifically we were talking about sacred obligations, reclaiming your power, and also obligations that other people put on you, which would be them esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Good one.
Yeah, it does fit in with what we were talking about.
All right, we have some names in our chat room for cards. So I have in my list Errol first. So I'm going to draw a card for you, Errol. Nice to have you with us. This is Energy Shift in a New Chapter. It's number 14. You have something afoot. So here's for you, Errol. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old, and of course, in with the new. So it sounds like you're turning a page, Errol. And this is just sit still for a sec, take a breath. In other words, sometimes I have to even say, suck it up, okay, release, and let's go. So good for you. I think that's a great message.
And you know, that energy shift is another thing that happens when we start to take our power back. Something changes inside of us. We take our power back, and we have this energy shift. And our energy signature, that vibe that we put out, changes. It improves. It becomes healthier. And we do that through our own education, through learning, through reading, through improving ourselves, through personal growth, spiritual growth, and so forth. All right. Let's see. Michael, you want to do the next person, Tabby?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm pulling a card for Tabitha. And I pulled number 30 in the Service to Self and Others suite. Greatness to deliver.
Huh. Wonder where we heard that one before.
Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. And that's a great card, Tabitha. And you, like all of us, of course, have a lot of greatness to deliver to the world, each of us in our own way.
Yes. And that's a good question to ask, you know. In what ways do you deliver greatness to the world? In what ways do you improve things, make things better, lighten the load? You know, I've said this many times. One of the biggest things, most important things that people need, the thing that's lacking the most is an encouraging word. Just an uplifting, upbuilding, encouraging word. People are discouraged. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on in the world. I mean, it's same stuff, different decade, but you know, people still get discouraged, and they need the uplifting word, and it can be as simple as a cheerful good morning or hello. So what ways are we adding to that wood pile? And they can be small, but they're still adding. So, you know, pat yourself on the back every time you add to that wood pile.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember when I really first heard about this term and thought about it and tried to interpret it in my own way, I overthought the crap out of it. I thought, you know, I have to do something, you know, history making or change the world in a very dramatic way. But, you know, it's not that. It's just about being a good person and making the world around you a better place to be. And it can be little things every day, just like you were saying.
Good points. All right. Dr. Hunter, you want to...
Well, Fran is next on my list, so if I have the right order...
We have,
you know,
a
Fran,
Skype.
Oh, okay, well, I had written down as the names were coming up on my... I can't
sure.
watch Skype
You're
and
right.
the chat at the same time, sorry. You know, Fran, I got blocks. Now, it's in the wild card suit. And just sometimes these are little reminders for us. I'm just going to share this with you. There's a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction, but don't dismay Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open. You know, so what I would add to this, Fran, and, you know, just as I kind of tune in, is sometimes we want things to happen really quickly, or we wonder why things aren't happening. And really, I always say we have to wait for the cosmic intersections, and then a window opens and you can fly through. But it's just we have to reflect for a minute and just take opportunity. So if things aren't happening as fast or in the way that you'd like, I always say do an art project, you know, go do dishes and get busy with other physical things and meditate and project what you want out there, and it will, you know, catch a slipstream, so to speak, and you'll be on your way. So always new doorways coming, but we have to, timing is everything. So.
And, you know, another thing about blocks is that if we feel like we're blocked in some way, what we need to do is, kind of like Dr. Hunter said, we need to essentially retreat, regroup, and then attack again. So if you feel like you're being blocked, you know, it could mean that you're just lacking some information. You're lacking something. That's what happens with me when I feel blocked. If I'm going to write something, or it's like I'm missing data. I've talked about this too. And so I have to wait. I have to retreat, regroup, do some research, whatever it is. And then you'll find something that allows you to get past that block. Just my two cents. All right, let's go with Bridget, Michael.
All right, Bridget. I have number 38 in the life skills suite, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Very well put.
Yep, we have to be open-minded, just not so open-minded our brains fall out, right?
I have Phyllis next on my list. Hi, Phyllis. As always, it's good to have you here. And your card is, I'm going over it, the Law of Control. Boy, we've been talking about that tonight, too. But there's little messages in here. It's number 5, Life Leadership Paragon Suit. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says you can't control or change others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you're entitled to control. Don't give unsolicited advice. Respect that others, everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. And you can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. You know, I think there's a lot of situations and perhaps something in your life, maybe it's the workplace, where, you know, you can't control it. Everybody has an input and we all do our part. And, you know, then we have to, of course, that last line there, if there's things that are out of your control, well, you accept them and, like I say, do your part. You lobby for change and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, or you make a decision to leave. And I think in your situation, it's not present to leave, but just know what you can and can't kind of influence and be that rock that you are, because you always are a great inspiration to other people and a support system. But we all feel frustrated sometimes when we can't control things. We wish they were a little different. So maybe that resonates with you in some way, Phyllis. I hope so.
All right, folks. We're going to pull one more card just generally and talk about that for a second, and then we'll start wrapping things up. Vicki, you want to do that?
I sure do. Be who you are and walk your own path.
Good one.
It's number 3, Life Leadership Paragon. And I have it right here. Okay, everybody. We all need to hear this once in a while. You're a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you, and of course all of us, to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. And of course, whatever it is that fulfills your spirit and how you were designed to be here. And I just added that last line. It's difficult, you know. We all want to fit in and be a part of the human experience with others, sharing that. But we got to be who we are. I am who I am. You are who you are. And we start moving forward.
Yep, good points. You know, we hit a lot of these cards each week. They seem to come up when they're needed. And if you look at these cards, how they just flow into everything we're talking about, because these are all different aspects of our life and what's required to live a healthy life and have healthy relationships. And so all of these are just like ingredients into a great dish, a great cake or whatever. And that's why we have to apply these things. And the reminders are necessary. We all need reminders. You know, I get reminders just from doing the program. I have to remember this stuff too. And there's sometimes when I get maybe down a little bit and I have to remember not to take myself so seriously at times and stop that, and then it changes things. Michael's made a comment here. Let me just read it. He says, it's perhaps easier to walk someone else's life, but it's never as interesting or rewarding as walking your own. And he's wondering if somebody else said that. I don't know offhand, but it's a good point. Walk your own life. Don't let other people walk your life for you. All right, so we're pretty much out of time, folks. We really appreciate you listening. Let's listen to the archives as well. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.